I want to introduce you to Shelley Carl. How many of you are strangers to Shelley? Okay, Shelley has been on the missions field for what to me seems like forever, but 40 years she's celebrating on the missions field. And have all 40 been directly in Japan?
Yes, Japan.
This is not. So she has spent a considerable amount of time in Japan reaching people for Jesus. And she is here itinerating, and we are so fortunate to have her here to share with us. So sit back, listen, and receive what she has to share with us. Big round of applause for Shelley.
Thank you, Diane. Aren't they doing an awesome job at this whole conference? I'm absolutely amazed. All the little details, it's so wonderful. Is this better for the microphone then over on this side? Is that a little bit better? Okay. All right, let's see if I can figure this out. Well, welcome everybody. You are in the ballroom, but not for a dance. We are on the topic of truth be told. Now, Linda Morrison asked me back in May if I would be willing to do a workshop and speak on this topic. And in the Japanese culture, we don't know how to say no. So I had to say yes. And afterwards, I thought about it and I said, what in the world is she talking about? And then I read the information that I'm supposed to speak on and I said, what in the world is this talking about? But the Holy Spirit is so amazing, has helped me to prepare for this, and not only through studying about this, but I looked back and realized that ever since I landed in America last October, I've been going through experiences that are helping me to be able to share what I'm going to share with you today. So to God be all the glory. Amen. So everyone's expecting you're in the Truth Be Told workshop, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, as you know, I've been a missionary in Japan for 40 years, a country that has less than 1% Christian, mostly Buddhism, Shintoism. They believe in 8 million gods. And so, talk about people who don't know the truth. Those are my people. At least in America, you have a lot of people who have some knowledge of the truth. Even when they hear a Christmas hymn, at least, or a Christmas song, at least they would understand the fact that Christmas has something to do with those Christians and Jesus. But that is not, that even that small item is not even evident in Japan. So I'm coming from a world of complete untruth when it comes to the topic of God. If you worship 8 million gods, I don't know that they've ever actually counted them, but it's kind of an infinity number. In other words, everything's a god. So if everything is a god and nothing happens from the gods, really nothing is a god. Well, as we delve into this topic, there is one particular scripture that I want you to just think of as the whole main point I want you to get in this hour, okay? So everyone has your worksheet? You see that I have written there, the perfect combination is grace and truth. Can we read this scripture, 1 John 1:14, all together out loud? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We know that the Word that's speaking of Jesus, Jesus himself is full of grace and truth. And he walked this earth in a time where it was very different than our time here, but he encountered people that didn't believe in the same truth that he believed in. So let's talk a little bit about grace and truth. Grace is like a compassion you have for people. And you're going to really make an effort to try and understand where they are coming from. It's you're being better to them than they deserve. And we all, as Christians, are very used to practicing that. Matthew 29:39, love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And oftentimes, if we love people, if we treat them better than they deserve to be treated, it's as if we gain the right to speak into their lives, to speak the truth of Jesus. So grace is a good thing. Theodore Roosevelt said, "Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care." However, it can't all be about love and grace and, oh yes, I just, everything you do is great. It can't be that way. And why is that? Because of the truth. So now let's look at the truth. When it says here, we must hold on to this scripture of John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So sometimes we are loving people, and okay, whatever you think about that topic, that issue we're facing on the news these days, okay, whatever your opinion is, that's okay. Well, but it's not the truth. And so we have to remember that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we're going to talk about this issue a little bit later. So we must have a passion for the truth just like Jesus did. He never withheld his words, but he always said them in grace, right? He said them with grace. So the truth keeps us from accepting lies as reality. Sometimes, no matter how many, you hear something and you hear something and you hear something, and little by little you become numb to it. And then you kind of start to believe that, oh, this issue is okay, this issue is okay, this issue is okay. You begin to watch television shows where at the very beginning of the season, it's all good. And then one little thing happens and you just blink your eyes. Oh, well, I don't believe that. They shouldn't be doing that. And then before you know it, it's blatant sin on that very same program that started 8 weeks ago as a beautiful, wholesome family show. Right? Right? You all know. I am not around American television very much, thank God. Hallelujah. I only watch some news when I'm here, and even that is enough to let me know the truth is not being told in many parts of America. We must speak up like Jesus was willing to speak up. So if we make sure we are grounded in truth, then we're not believing the lies that even the news will speak to us, or television shows, or people that you work with, or family members. So we have to speak the truth, not only to change our culture, but also so that the lie doesn't change us. Because sometimes things keep going and going and going, and you're like, yeah, come to think of it, I'm going to agree with that person at my job, because they're making sense. We'll talk in a minute about where you get your truth from. So the goal is not happiness. It's holiness.
Amen.
We must remember that God is calling us to be a holy people set apart for his kingdom purposes. And it is not that important that everybody like us. Matter of fact, it's not important at all. It's important if God approves of what we are doing and what we are saying and how we are living. Truth defeats evil. Hallelujah for that. Amen.
Amen.
So we don't focus on what the world thinks of us, but what God thinks of us. Just put yourself in a situation, if God were, well, he is, but remind yourself, oh, God is listening to my thoughts right now. Yeah. That'll help you want to clean up your thoughts, right? Yes. So, I want to tell you a little story. I arrived back to the States in October, and my youngest brother, my baby brother, who was born when I was 12, so I was like a second mother to him, he said, "Let's talk on the phone. We don't really talk much when I'm in Japan because it's a 13-hour time difference. So, when they're sleeping, I'm awake, and vice versa. So, we don't communicate that way. The way we communicate often is through Facebook Messenger. And we'll, you know, send each other little pictures of our doggies and just certain things that we can agree on, because most of his life is the complete antithesis to my life. Mm-hmm. He lives in Palm Springs, California. He's walking as tightly as hand in hand with the devil as anyone can walk. And he's very proud of that. So he called me up. I thought, this will be great. I hadn't seen him for a couple years. Okay, we'll talk and catch up. He spent the first hour, the only way I can say it is verbally abusing me, calling me every possible thing that any Christian could ever be called. Even brought into it the whole Assemblies of God, because that's what I stand for. You know, he doesn't know my life. He said, I know you. I follow you on social media. I said, you know what? My life is a whole lot more than my Facebook. And the things you're saying, that's not me. But I began to realize, no matter what I say, he's not listening. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, Shelley, you listen to him. So I just listened to him. And he was ranting and raving like a maniac, literally. And then at one point I'm hearing him, in my guess, probably inhaling some marijuana or something, and he calmed down. And then I said, can I ask you a question? I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, why are you so angry? Well, because of all the things you're doing. And he started back up all again about all Christians. I said, you don't even know me. I don't represent all Christians. I represent Jesus. Well, Jesus, and you know, of course, the conversation keeps on going. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. After the phone call ended, he texted me and said, it was so great catching up. I'm really sorry that I kind of hogged most of the conversation, but let's do this every couple weeks. I thought to myself, no, that's not my plan. That is not my plan. And it was so raw. That was like a Thursday. That next Sunday, I was at my home church in Rochester to speak, and before the service, it was actually the church secretary's absolutely wonderful, brilliant, deep woman of God. She came up behind me, so I didn't know who was praying for me the entire time. Prayed for me before the service. And it's as if her words were used by the Holy Spirit to wash all of that out of me. And you notice, I didn't tell you any of the words that my brother used because they're pretty much gone. I never reiterated it. I never told another family member. I told one friend because I needed somebody to talk to. And she knows him since he was a little boy. But I was so amazed at how the Holy Spirit could just wash that out of me and also help use that as a way for me to understand a little bit more of what you all are going through, because you're facing this all the time. If you are living as the light in a dark place, you're facing it. You've probably been through much worse than I have been through. So that was October, and basically we had no communication after that. So June, the decision from the Supreme Court for abortion to be settled by the states. I thought, hallelujah. And so I wrote on my Facebook, because I know that's the only way my brother has any connection with me, but I want everyone to know that I believe in life. And I believe the value of every life. I wrote only scriptures about life. I was sitting at Central Assembly of God in Springfield, Missouri. Now, if any of you don't know Mecca, our headquarters of the Assemblies of God, Central Assembly is like the church. And I was there for missionary training. And here I am in the church of the Assemblies of God. And boom, right on my Facebook, underneath the scriptures, comes this huge long paragraph from my brother. Absolutely horrible things he was writing. And I stopped and I said, Lord, help me. Because I was in a seminar and I needed to read this. I needed to learn what was going on. But I'm seeing what he's writing at the same time, knowing that he's not speaking anything of the truth, saying terrible, terrible lies about me, about the Assemblies of God, and found out later several of my friends had seen this. Not only did he do that once, he did that at least 10 times, these long paragraphs Then he'd write a whole nother one. And I said, yeah, bless his heart is right. He's going to come back to Jesus. He was raised in the same Christian home I was raised in. My parents sacrificed to send him to Christian school through kindergarten through 12th grade. I didn't get that. Because, praise God, I was raised with my dad in the military, so we were traveling. But by then, my dad retired by the time my brother started school. So 12 years in a Christian, private Christian school, and he's totally walked away from God. I said, what should I do right now? What I wanted to do was help myself. I wanted to call my best friend. I needed to hear the session. It was very important. But I said, okay, when this session's over, I'm going to go out to the car. I'm going to call my best friend. I'm going to cry, and I'm just going to blah, 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 blah. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, no, you don't. I've got your answer. So when the session was over, I sat out in the foyer at Central Assembly. I said, let me stay in this holy territory. And I said, Holy Spirit, what's the call? What are we going to do? Because I knew I couldn't let this keep on going publicly on my Facebook page. And I knew that if I called any one of you, and if I called my best friend, you would have said, just block him. He can't do it anymore. That doesn't solve anything.
No.
So I said, Holy Spirit, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit showed me, well, he has done this publicly. You write something publicly. So I did. I responded to the last of the 10 or so that he wrote. And I said, these comments are not helping anyone. And please delete them. I'm going to delete them myself right now. Please don't send any more. And if one more does come, I will have to block the sender. I'm kind of giving it out like, okay, maybe someone's hacked your name and somebody else is doing it. You know, I didn't use his name.
Sure.
And so quickly, I began to delete all of that because I thought, in these 20 minutes this has been happening, I don't know who has seen it. But lo and behold, as soon as I deleted all of those, he blocked me. And I thought, if any family ever asks the story and they ever ask me what I hear from him, I'll just say, he blocked me. I can't even contact him. And I feel that the Holy Spirit had the best answer.
Yeah.
I never had to block him, which every person I know would have told me to do that.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know.
Yes. Yes.
The Holy Spirit knows what that person needs. I know that he's just writhing, but I want that writhing to bring him back to the foot of the cross.
Yes.
I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Oh, no, I told you the story. Yes, because we're going to leave that. We're going to leave that. To God be all the glory. Everything is good. And someday, oh, and I'm in a special prayer group right now of 40 days where we actually are praying online with the former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, a Congresswoman too.
Yes.
Are you on that?
Well, no, I'm not, but I...
You know about it.
Yes.
I actually did it even from 10 to 11 today.
Yes.
She's actually the Dean of Government at Regent University now. But every day for 40 days, we are all together praying out loud for all the people that need to know Jesus that are in our lives. And he's the first name that gets mentioned. And I cannot tell you how I'm just rejoicing to know God hears my prayer. And he will. My brother is playing in the pig's pen right now. But he's going to come back and run into the arms of the Father in the name of Jesus, I declare it. Amen? Amen. Let's not say his name.
That's fine.
Yeah. But thank you. It's a biblical name. New Testament. I'll stop there. All right. So back to grace and truth. Because remember we started with the scripture about Jesus had the perfect balance of grace and truth. So how many of you ever saw Nick Walenda did a balancing act over Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Right? I think it was back in 2012. He did it also over the Grand Canyon and over some active volcanoes and things like that. Keep that picture in your mind when you think about balancing grace and truth. I had to tell my brother, the things you're saying are not true. This is the truth. And that the balance of grace and truth, we have to constantly be going back between right thinking and right doing, right thinking and right doing. Now you have those that we would like to lean more towards grace, the gracers. They always want to show God's love. Friends, you hear that word love used in it's almost as if it's blasphemous use of it these days. Everything is love. But what about truth? We have to emphasize that there is right and there is wrong and that the truth will set you free. So we have to figure out how to balance grace and truth. How to love people while letting them know that this way of doing things or this way of thinking is not biblical. So let's talk about worldviews. How do we see the world? It's like we're all wearing lenses, which I am today. And I'm very thankful for this prescription because I can look down and read my papers and I can look out and see at you thanks to bifocals. And so we are all wearing a lens through which we look at the world. So, the lenses that we want to talk about today is the cultural lens or the cultural worldview and the scriptural lens or worldview, the biblical, a lens that is based on what the Bible says. You're looking through the words of the Bible through everything you think and everything you do. You see, a lens through which we perceive reality. We make sense of the world. It's a set of our assumptions, our beliefs, our values. We use it to determine the meaning of our experiences and the validity of competing truth claims. Because everyone will say they're right. So let's look at this cultural worldview, the culture that we live in right now. Truth is subjective. Well, if it works for you, then it must be true. But for the Christian with a biblical worldview, truth is objective. You're looking at it, and truth is truth. What God said is truth. For the cultural worldview, truth is relative and situational. Well, it's okay for them to live together because they love each other. That's the cultural worldview. The Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, which is universal, says that sin is for everybody. You don't get an exception that you're special just because you first fell in love. No. For the cultural worldview, truth is ever-changing. Well, it wasn't okay 10 years ago, so on TV shows, Ricky and Lucy had to be in twin beds. You remember that?
Yes.
And little by little, you can hardly turn anything on that isn't even same-sex marriage situations, right? It's ever-changing. For the scriptural worldview, it's unchanging.
Amen.
Truth is truth. For the cultural worldview, there's no moral compass. There's no moral North Star. But we, as the biblical worldview people, we know that our true North is Jesus Christ. For a cultural worldview, our source of truth, it's me, myself, and I. But for the biblical worldview, God is our source of truth. And one problem is that even for those with a biblical worldview, sometimes the lens gets cloudy. So make sure you are daily in the Word, not just when you need a scripture to get you through a problem. Daily, have your routine. Figure out how you can have more and more of the Word of God in your life. If you need to, this is what I personally do. Every single morning, I actually listen to David Jeremiah on my TV because he comes on at 6 o'clock. It's perfect timing for me. I feel like he's teaching the truth. I'm not there with him on his Holy Spirit theology, but that's okay. Everything else, you know, he's not speaking blasphemous. He's really solid. Find something that works for you that is true and biblical. There's so many things. I could not say that to a group of Japanese people by speaking to them, because there's nothing. But you here in America, you have no idea how blessed you are. You know, if your church isn't feeding you, it doesn't mean it's time for you to leave your church. It might mean you're supposed to study the Word and volunteer to teach a Sunday school class and feed the people. Right? Listen, a pastor's job is crazy. And we don't know everything. And we're constantly trying to study. But it doesn't mean that the pastor's the only one who is to feed you. And if you're not getting fed at your church, you could get feeding somewhere else, but that also doesn't mean you need to leave your church. Why has God put you there? Don't ever leave unless God says, it's time for you to go. I have another ministry for you elsewhere. God put you there to be a blessing. Be a blessing and don't leave and don't take your complaints with you. I'm preaching now. Okay. I know I'm preaching to the choir, because I know you are women here who love your churches.
Amen.
And I am just so thankful to be in this kind of an atmosphere. And I commend you for being here. This is the kind of thing that will help to help you through your stress of work, of relationships that are just not going right because of all this culture that we're going through right now. Get yourself as much as possible around like-thinking people, so that when you are with non-biblical worldview people, you know how to act with grace and with truth. Don't forget the truth part. Current cultural absolutes that are going on that we all have to face. I've been so shocked since I've come back to America. All these words have different meanings now. So we're going to talk about openness, tolerance, pluralism, and being non-judgmental. So let's go back to openness. Traditionally, you're humbly acknowledging, okay, I'm on a quest for learning truth. And we might not agree on everything, but we can consider, my mind is open to consider new ideas. Of course, I'm running them all through the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm making sure that it fits with what the Bible teaches. But I'm open because I don't know everything that David Jeremiah knows. I don't know everything that my pastor knows. You see what I'm saying? I don't know everything that the woman sitting next to me knows. So I'm open to learning how the Holy Spirit works and having that build up my life as iron sharpens iron. We understand that God works in mysterious ways. But currently, instead of humbly acknowledging that we have a lot more to learn and that we should always be searching for the truth, they're insisting that we have to accept all ideas and all beliefs. Nothing's right, nothing's wrong, just accept it all. And this is built upon relativism with no universal truths. Paul says, it's like being an infant. You're tossed back and forth. Whatever they say today, okay, I'll believe that. What is a woman? I mean, really? Christians, we must be open to the truth. Always be, consider yourself a lifelong learner. Now you say, well, I'm getting old. I can't learn anymore. This old brain of mine. Listen, next year, I have to sign up for Medicare. That's a magic age. I also just began a PhD program that will take 6 years to complete in intercultural studies. Because I am a lifelong learner. I want to be open to what godly people can teach me so that I can teach more people. You see, openness is a good thing, but it doesn't mean there's no right, there's no wrong. Let's just be open and welcome it all into our hearts. No, your heart will become black and muddy. What about tolerance? I mean, that sounds like a good word, really. We have to bear with other people. I don't like her voice. I don't like the way she sings that song. I don't like the loud drummer. But I'm going to tolerate it because I love my church. You know, tolerance is a good thing. It's thinking that something is less than or different than it should be, but then we decide, I can live with it. It's not up to my standards, but I can live with it. That's tolerance. I can bear it. But nowadays, they've changed it. It requires embracing and celebrating sin. It's the only way I can say it. Other person's moral choices, their lifestyle. A great example of that is gay marriage. If you are following the biblical worldview, you can't accept that. But we have whole denominations in America that welcome that. So don't just think that because they put church on their name outside their building, that they are following the worldview. Always, that they're following the biblical worldview. Always make sure that what the church is teaching lines up with the Word of God. If it's not, you got to get out of there. Don't go to one of those churches, please. It'll mess you up. Don't go just to love them. Because if they're not willing to accept the truth, you have to say, you'd be like Nick Walenda saying, I'm just going to balance everything here on the right and hope I don't fall into Niagara Falls. It's not going to work. You're going to die. With gay marriage, really, they want homosexuality to be affirmed as much as heterosexuality. That's what they're looking for. That is not biblical. So Christians, Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. And so, yes, be accepting of other people, but never sway from the truth that is in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Pluralism. We're getting close here now to... afterwards, we're going to try and give you some time for questions and have a little prayer time. So if you have questions, hopefully someone in the room can answer them. I don't know it's necessarily going to be me. We'll probably at that point turn the mic over to Diane.
Oh, I'll answer.
Oh, thank you. I've got the 25-minute warning.
Well, you didn't have to tell everybody.
Okay. Traditionally, we understand the fact that all religions are different, and we Christians understand the fact that the scripture we read earlier, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, salvation is only through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross at Calvary. But nowadays, all religions basically teach the same thing. Just be a good person and you'll get to heaven. Not important what a person believes as long as they're sincere. No one has the right to judge another person's experiences. It's right for them. It's working for them. Leave them alone. I can't live that way. Because if I did, I wouldn't see my brother in heaven. Our experiences are never self-authenticating. We can't just go by our experiences. Now, I'm going to read you a little story. By the way, a lot of the notes from my lecture today are coming from this book by Rob Renfro. You can get it on Amazon. The name is at the bottom of your paper on the second page, called The Trouble with the Truth. And he's the one who talks about this idea of balancing grace and truth. But there's a little story here about the blind men and the elephant. You've probably heard it. It's an ancient Indian tale that was translated by John Godfrey. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Okay, here we go. Six blind men go to see an elephant, each touching it to determine what they can learn about it. The first, feeling its broad and sturdy side, believes it to be much like a wall. The second feels its tusk and believes it's similar to a spear. The others, touching different parts of the elephant, believe the elephant to be like a snake, a tree, a fan, and a rope. And the poem ends this way. And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong. Though each was partly in the right, and all were in the wrong. So you can't just go by your experiences. You've got to base what you're saying on the Word of God. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Buddhism will not get you to heaven. Hinduism will not get you to heaven. Only Jesus left an empty tomb. Please understand that there are people, even in our Assemblies of God churches, who don't believe this anymore. Hit them over the head with a hammer or something. You can tell I'm more on the truth side than the love side. Listen, we've got to be strong on this. Otherwise, what is the Bible? What is Christianity? What is our salvation? Let us not waste one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then being non-judgmental. Traditionally, we respectfully disagree with another person. We have completely different views, but we can sit down and have lunch with them. That seems beautiful. Currently, well, you're considered hateful if you're going to question another person's opinion. So as Christians, we do not judge in the sense of condemning someone. And we should not expect non-Christians to think the way we think or to live the way we live. But we do have to remember that Jesus told the greedy, the self-righteous, the sexually immoral, and those who taught falsehood as truth to repent. Not because he did not love them, but because he did. He does love them, and that's why he wants them to know the truth. C.S. Lewis has said that every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every unsaved person this side of hell. That is our job, to tell the good news. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Go into all the world. Your world is probably not Japan, though if you want to go, I'm open for teammates. But your world is South Ozone Park. How many from South Ozone Park? Oh my goodness. Everywhere I go, I'm meeting someone here at this conference from South Ozone Park. I love it. But I'm not called there. But you are, or wherever God has placed you. That's where you are to give the good news. So in this world of constant changing of definitions, swaying from one belief to another, what's a Christian to do? These are the things that I just thought about as I was studying this. Be countercultural, but don't be afraid to encounter the culture. Don't walk away from it. If I would have blocked my brother, it's like I'm walking away from it saying, I'm too good for you.
Right.
But he blocked me. So see, it's a win-win situation. He can friend me anytime he wants to. He can call me. He can text me. My heart is still open to him. But if I would have blocked him, he would have thought, I'm closed to him. I'm keeping the door open. But I'm not going to walk the way he walks. I'm not going to have the same beliefs that he has, because my beliefs come from Jesus and the Word of God. And I know that that's kind of a mouthful to say when you have so many different denominations that are saying, well, we believe in Jesus too, and it's all about love. Don't forget the balance of grace and truth, and be ready to speak the truth with love. It's not so simple, but that's what we must do. What are some actions? Well, I thought about what not to do. Do not defend yourself. Because in the end, it's not really about you.
That's right.
It's all that you stand for. My brother was going on and on and on about me, and I thought, I haven't seen you in years. We haven't talked in years. You have no idea who I am, even as a person. But yet, he thinks he does. I said, it's not about me. He's against everything that Christianity stands for, because he was taught the truth and he walked away from it. So why would I defend Shelley? It's not about me. He's angry. It's his issue, not mine. I also learned, don't argue. Don't get into an argument, especially publicly, but even privately. Arguing doesn't work. And don't attack. Don't start to get that same kind of passion in your voice and speak your thoughts and eventually become attacking and naming out their sins. Don't do that. They can't hear it. And it just makes you ugly is right. Perfect word. That's right. So what can we do? Make sure to examine your life based upon the story of the man who built his house on a rock and the man who built his house on sand. Because when the rains come, when the thunderstorms come, when the phone calls come, when the issues arise in your family and at your job and in your neighborhood even, if your life is built on sand, it's going to fall. And you won't survive, let alone the people you're trying to win to the Lord. So examine your life. Humble yourself. You know, I kind of wanted to say to my brother, you know, I'm in a PhD program. Because he thinks I'm so stupid. Oh, my goodness. He thinks I had no knowledge about anything going on. And he says, Shelley, you don't know this stuff and you're going to go talk in churches? Oh, there's no hope for you. Well, I just had to humble myself and say, God, help me. Give me the wisdom. Give me the wisdom. Listen to the other person, because after all, they want to be listened to. Ask them about themselves and what their troubles are. That's why I asked my brother, why are you so angry? And his answer was crazy, that it's all about me. But I thought, he's going to think about that question, because I hardly got any word in edgewise on that conversation. I just asked him, can I ask you a question? Why are you so angry? And I believe he's thinking about that to this day. Why is he so angry? Yeah. So I had to listen to him and listen at the same time to the Holy Spirit. Because it was the Holy Spirit at that moment that said, Shelley, do not defend yourself. Stop it. This is not about you. Just listen to him. The Holy Spirit's going to get him. Oh, my goodness. Boy. And walk in step with the Holy Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, because God knows where that person is in their issues and how you can affect their lives at this point in their lives. So grace and truth, balancing them out, grace will catch you when you fall. Can you imagine if Nick Wallenda got just a little bit over this way? Grace will catch him and push him back. But truth is a solid foundation under your feet. Must be a life lived in balance. So here are some verses to live by. And I want us to read these out loud together, because I believe the more of the Word of God you put into yourself, the better. And to hear yourself speak the Word of God out loud puts it into your spirit. I read the Word of God to myself out loud. I listen to things because I'm probably an auditory learner. Whatever works good for you, but I do believe that, you know, with all this stuff that comes into our ears, let us put the Word of God into it. When we pray, pray based upon the Word of God. If you were here last night, you noticed that I was asked to pray for two different ministries. I could have just said, Lord, I pray you bless them. Amen. But I looked at scripture that would be effective for my prayers, and I prayed those, and I based my prayer upon those scriptures. The Word of God is our best friend. God left it for us for a reason. So get to know it more and more. Let's read these scriptures together. Everyone has on the second page the final section there. Let's read together. John 14:26. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Wow. Because sometimes people who are living in a cultural worldview and they're buying into all this stuff that the world is going through right now, they don't think you have any answers. And they kind of think you're dumb. When the Holy Spirit teaches you what to say, it's like a nuclear missile for the good. So let him speak through you. He'll teach you. Wow. He's going to remind you of everything that Jesus said. Well, if you haven't read what Jesus said, you can't be reminded. So that's why I'm over and over again, be in the Word, be in the Word, be in the Word. Let's read Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Pray this over your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling with their issues. Pray this prayer over yourself, that God will strengthen you with his power. Just before this session began, I was talking with Marlene Glickert over there by my table. And she says, Shelley, because her dear husband was amazing, amazing man of God, and she just lost him to heaven this year. I said, oh, Marlene, you're without clay. He was an amazing missions leader for New York many years ago. And she said, yes, Shelley, but God has told me now I'm walking in the double portion, and I'm to pray it over anyone who wants it. Do you want it now, Shelley? She lays her hands on me and prays over me like Elijah prayed for Elijah. Elisha prayed for Elijah, and she prayed that double portion over me. Let us pray and bless one another. And let's read 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We can't do it on our own, but here's the good news. We don't have to. We don't have to. All the people that are out there in this cultural worldview, they've got to check what's the talking points for today. You know, what's our definition of this today? We go to God, the source. So pray his blessing upon each other. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I hope you have learned something today, because I sure have. And I hope that it will help you in your situations that we face in this world. But let us remember, as a Christian, it's not our goal to balance what we think with what they think. It's our goal to balance grace and truth. So does anyone have any questions before we close? Or if anyone wants to share what you're going through, we'd be willing to listen to it and pray for you. Yes?
I just want to give a recommendation. A former fellow Northern Asian missionary wrote a book. It's available on Amazon. It's a quick read, and it's all about balancing grace and truth. And it's called Jesus Stole My Bread.
Okay, so for those who didn't hear that, Tina Richter is recommending. Say the name of the book again.
Jesus Stole My Bread.
That talks all about balancing grace and truth. Excellent.
On Amazon.
And do we have the name of the author?
Paul Durbin.
Everything is good on Amazon. Thank you, Tina. That's great. Because we need resources. We need to help each other. And, you know, I tell you, really, the reason I got this book about the trouble with the truth is because I was speaking at a church in Long Island, Pastor Phil Kelly, and I had a lot of time to talk with him and his wife before we went out for dinner on Saturday night. And he was talking. I said, tell me what's going on in your church now. Oh, we're getting ready to launch a book study on Friday night. I said, oh, what book are you studying? And I thought he was going to say a book of the Bible. But he talked about this book. And I said, where did you get that book? He said, oh, I got it on Amazon. I had it ordered before we even finished our conversation. Because I knew this is what this workshop needs to be about. So this helped me tremendously. And then I just processed it myself. There's a lot more in this book that, of course, I couldn't get to today. But I do recommend that as well. Anybody else? Something to share or question? I'm sure you're all dealing with something and thinking about situations. Yes.
I
change her name from a female name to a male, and now she's going through the process of doing the hormonal change, and she's only 13 years old.
Oh, if you all can hear what she's saying, and I'll just kind of, before you finish, I'll just repeat this so that we make sure the recording gets it, that it's a family member who is going through the whole changing from a girl to a boy?
Yes, and her mom and her dad, she's 13 years old.
13 years old, oh my goodness.
Along with that, there's drugs. When she wants something and she doesn't get what she wants, she cuts herself, and the parents are just...
Yeah, the cutting. Oh.
The parents are, they just, I can't say bad parents, they just need God.
Yes, so, they need,
you know,
God,
if you
yes.
guys can keep her in prayers, because, you know, I've deal with it, I've seen it happen. I used to work with another individual at a job years ago who went through a hormonal change, and he says if he can tell anybody not to do it, because then the other mental aspect that comes along with
the mental aspect, yes,
the hormonal
yes.
change and everything else, and, you know, it's like the family want me to call this young lady by a female name, and I says, I don't know. Or they want to do the him, or I think it's a pronoun. What they call
yeah, they want to change the pronouns and change the names and all of that, yes.
So if you guys can, you know, I appreciate that these things are being taught in the church.
Yes.
A lot of us are so afraid to talk about. You know, I was able to express to one of the family members the same year that I respect them as a human being, but I don't believe in what they believe. And
yes.
The fact that I respect them as a human being, but I don't accept what they're teaching and what they believe.
That's perfect. That was a perfect balance. Yes. Yes. Okay, let us pray for this person. You want to pray?
I've been praying for Amazon because I work for the company.
Okay. Oh, sure, yes.
No, I'm not going to judge, though. I'm going to pray. Amazon as a whole needs Jesus.
Yeah. When I said everything good comes from Amazon, I meant all these good things, we can get them from Amazon. But I know there's a lot of bad stuff in Amazon, too. So I don't shop for that, but. What's that?
Corporate America. It's not just Amazon.
Corporate America, yes. It's all about that. Yes. It's so in your face right now. And so be in the face of Jesus. Don't face the world before you have been splashed by the Word of God every day. And when you feel like you can't take it anymore, pull out the Word of God or pull up a worship song and get it into your spirit. Don't let this ugliness take over you. The world is desperate for the light and salt that we are to be.
Yes.
Okay, we are ready to wrap it up. So, Diane, would you come and close in prayer and pray for this young lady and pray for corporate America, and that the Holy Spirit would seal the word that was given now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Shelley. I think we're all grappling with the same thing in our lives today.
Yes.
You know, whether it's in a job, whether it's at home, a family member, someone we know. The agenda is to get us to buy into the lie.
Right.
God's agenda is that we stand for truth.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to pray
Amen.
For. Lord, we praise and thank you for this time
Amen.
Together. We thank you for what Shelley shared with us, Lord Jesus, that gave us courage. It gives us a clear focus, Lord Jesus. What our job is to be the light in the darkness. I pray right now for those that are experiencing all these things that the world is trying to tell us is true, and it's such a lie from Satan. And Lord, I just pray right now as we all grapple with that, whether it's corporate America, family members, members of families of people we know, Lord Jesus, help us to be the light of love and the light of truth, the light of grace and the light of mercy, you flowing through us to other people. We praise and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, ladies. And there's a whole other set of sessions. Shelly will be speaking again here, and downstairs are three more. Look for the signs on the doors.
Yes.
Ohio, because I understand.
Hey, Ohio.
I'm looking for you.